It was about 10:30 Saturday night, June 8th, so just a few weeks ago. I was getting ready to turn in for the night when suddenly there was a huge bang, like an explosion, shaking the house with violent force, with the sound coming from the direction of the garage. I raced to find Elsa, who was in a different part of the house, to see if she was okay and if she had heard the sound too. And she had, and she was concerned as well. She thought the loud, explosive sound may have come from outside, in front of the house. But neither of us were sure. I went into the garage and looked around, fully expecting that maybe a shelf had collapsed, or maybe something happened to one of our cars or the water heater. But everything was just normal. Everything looked just fine. Didn't see any problems. I grabbed a flashlight and headed outside. Did something explode in the street? Did a bomb go off? Was there a house on fire? Did someone throw something against our house or the garage door? Did a part of a plane break off and hit the roof? It's amazing all the scenarios you can come up with. But no, everything was peaceful and calm outside. Most of the houses had their lights off. Either our neighbors were already in bed sleeping or they were out for the night. But there were no cars driving by, no wild parties, no talking, no laughing, no debris, no smoke, no flames, nothing. It was just a very peaceful, calm, serene night. Matter of fact, even calmer than normal. I was almost getting suspicious. It was too calm. But we were both puzzled. We went back in the house and peered out the windows and couldn't find any problems anywhere. Finally, we just said our prayers, asked God to help us deal with whatever it was in the morning, and we went to bed. The next day, early in the morning, we got up, went outside, looked around. There was nothing. It just looked, everything was normal. Later, Elsa went into the garage later that morning to open the garage door, and the garage door wouldn't open. I heard a whining, straining in the distance, and soon I came to realize what it was. The spring in our garage door had snapped in two, and that was enough to make an explosive sound that shook the house. It's amazing. Later that day, I made some phone calls, and the next day we had the spring replaced and the door serviced, and everything was back to normal again. Everything was good. You know, from time to time, life is like that, isn't it? Breakdowns happen, sometimes unexpectedly, and sometimes dramatically. And often it's near impossible to foresee or prepare for a breakdown. But other times there are things you and I can do. For garage door springs, for instance, a little penetrating oil, I've heard, can be helpful to help them to last a little longer. But according to our garage door mechanic, even with that, it's just a matter of time before they will break. Apparently, they only last about 10 to 15 years. Preventive maintenance and the tendency for things to break down over time can apply to many different things, including ourselves. Our bodies need to be maintained, or eventually they will stop working effectively. If we eat right, get enough exercise, if we get plenty of sunshine, fresh air, that can help, and the right amount of sleep. But eventually, our bodies are going to wear out, and no matter what we do. And we will need a new body from God. Only God can supply. But in the meantime, we should do all we can to help take care of what God has given us. Since it is Independence Day weekend, and I forgot to wear a red, white, and blue, apologize, but we may have been reflecting on the freedom and the patriotism these past few days. If we love God and our country, then we should try to be the best people we can possibly be, to take care of ourselves physically, and even more importantly, spiritually, so we can help and serve others and have God's favor. for ourselves individually and for our nation too. This morning, I'd like us to focus in on something that we can do to stay well and avoid breakdowns, both physically and spiritually. Let's look at the physical aspect of this first, and then we'll take a look at this from a spiritual perspective. What is that element or additional thing that can help us stay well physically and spiritually? It's water. That's right, water. You and I need pure, refreshing, life-giving water to help us to maintain good health, both physically and spiritually. I'll explain how this applies spiritually in just a few minutes. But let's look at the physical side of this first. Now, first a disclaimer. This is not meant to be a medical diagnosis. So please check with your medical professionals if for any reason you're on meds or you have to limit your supply of water, your intake of water for any reason. But for most people, drinking a little more water, especially when it's hot, like now, drinking a little more water is one of the easiest, quickest, and least costly ways to improve your health. Having more water in our diet may not cure a chronic condition, but it can help us to be better off than we would have been otherwise. Why is that? Well, we all need water. Unless a miracle happens, most people will die if they don't have enough food after 4 to 8 weeks. But without water, most people can only survive about 7 days at the most. Scientists tell us our bodies are made up of 60 to 70% water. We need that much water to live or to live well. God in Leviticus 17:11 tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. And science tells us that blood is made up of approximately 51% water. So having enough water and blood is critical. According to a May 22, 2023 article from Harvard Medical School entitled "How Much Water Should You Drink?" at www.health.harvard.edu, water has the following benefits. Water helps your body in carrying nutrients and oxygen to your cells, flushing bacteria from your bladder, aiding digestion, preventing constipation, normalizing blood pressure, cushioning joints, protecting organs and tissues, regulating body temperature, and maintaining electrolyte or sodium balance. According to the May-June 2024 edition of Nutrition Action magazine, pages 11 through 12, studies have demonstrated that drinking more water can help prevent urinary tract infections. And it even works better than cranberry juice drinks, cranberry supplements, or vitamin C. Dr. David J. DeRose, in his book, The Methuselah Factor, copyright 2019, page 146, brings out another benefit. Dr. DeRose mentions how a medical research team at Loma Linda University in California studied over 20,000 adult men and women. Those who drank more water, approximately 3 extra glasses of water per day, cut their risk of death from heart disease by approximately 50% over a mere 6 years. How much water should you and I drink? A rough rule of thumb by Dr. DeRose, given in his book, page 150, is to take half of your ideal body weight and drink that many ounces. So if your ideal body weight is 130 pounds, half of that is 65, and that's how much water you should typically have, 65 ounces of water per day, or approximately 8 8-ounce glasses. So you may have to adjust it depending on your ideal body weight. Brethren, there's probably no more need for me to continue trying to convince you to drink more water, because I believe it's pretty obvious that we need water to be healthy. So now that we've looked at some of the physical benefits of drinking more water, let's turn our attention to the spiritual side of this. We not only need physical water to stay well, we need spiritual water. What is spiritual water? What's that? Where does that come from? Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. It's Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Tells us, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So God is the source of the living water that you and I need. John chapter 7, verses 38 to 39. That's John 7, 38 to 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the flowing living water that God provides is his Spirit. John 6, verse 63. That's John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So to have life, to have real life, we need God's Spirit, his attitude and power. We need to hear and accept and believe and put into practice God's words through Jesus Christ in order to have spiritual health and life. By the way, there might be a few wondering, we're already past Pentecost. Why are we still talking about this? Well, we need God's Spirit every day, year round. On Pentecost, when the Spirit came, it didn't end on that day. Also, there's a personal reason too. I was scheduled for a sermonette before Pentecost, but I got bumped, all for good reasons. But I mean, some of what you're hearing today is what you would have heard before Pentecost. So I'm just elaborating a bit since this is a split sermon now instead of a sermonette. So let's consider this. What are some ways God's Spirit and his Word can help us to stay spiritually healthy? Well, let's see. You know, just as water can clean us up on the inside and the outside, it can wash bacteria and germs out of us on the inside, and it can wash the dirt and grime off of us from the outside. God's Spirit working through his Word can clean us up. So the first key use or benefit of God's Spirit that we'll consider today is God's Spirit can clean us up. How does it do that? Well, it starts by making us aware of our sins before we're converted. John 16 in verses 8 through 11. It's John chapter 16. In verses 8 through 11, Jesus, speaking of the Spirit, tells us, and when he, or rather it, comes, it, the Spirit, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. This world has the word of God preached to it. Those who reject Jesus Christ and his righteousness and purposely ignore the warnings of the judgment to come are being convicted by his Spirit. But the Spirit continues to work with those who will listen and heed. When we are made aware of our sins by God's word and through his Spirit, it should lead us to sorrow for our sins and to repentance and ultimately to water baptism and receiving God's Spirit. For those being converted, the Spirit dwells with us and shall be in us, Jesus says. And we can take comfort in that we don't have to go it alone. God will never leave us. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us through his Spirit. Through repentance, baptism, laying on of hands, and receiving God's Spirit, our sins are washed away. We're sanctified, set apart by God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 19. That's 1 John 1 and verse 19. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me pause here for a moment and address an honest objection. Some might be wondering, wait, isn't it the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin? And aren't the robes of the martyrs washed in the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb? Yes, that's absolutely right. We need the blood of Jesus. We need Jesus' sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And we have to have his righteousness applied to us. We are reminded of that at Passover each year. But we also need God's Spirit and the water of the Word. We need Jesus' blood and Jesus' Word and Spirit to be clean and stay clean. 1 Corinthians 6:11. That's 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In Ephesians 5:25-26. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. God's Spirit helps us through the conversion process. It also helps us to learn and appreciate and love God the Father and Jesus Christ that much more as time goes on. Yes, just as water can help clean us up physically, we need the cleansing power of God's Spirit and Word. Another important benefit of water is that it can revive us when we're weak and weary. Who has not been refreshed by a cup of cold water? That's good stuff. Yes, just like water, the Spirit of God can refresh and renew us. And that's my second point. We need God's Spirit in order to be transformed, refreshed, and renewed. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How do we do that? How does that happen? Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we are renewed as we learn more. And Mr. Greer mentioned this too. We need to become like Jesus Christ. We are renewed as we learn more about God the Father and Jesus Christ and their will for us through prayer and Bible study. And it's certainly good at times to ask for more of God's Spirit and ask God to help us to use the Spirit he has already given us more effectively. We are to be rooted and grounded in God's love as we become more Christ-like. Ephesians 3:14-19. That's Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we learn to become more Christ-like, we are transformed, refreshed, and renewed. Yes, God's Spirit refreshes and transforms us. And it can do so, it does so by educating us, helping us to grow in understanding and love. John 16, verses 13 through 15. That's John chapter 16 and verses 13 through 15. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. It will glorify me, for it will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that it will take of mine and declare it to you. An example of growing in understanding, for instance, is when Peter, after studying the scriptures, realized we need to have a replacement for Judas. As a result, Matthias was added to the 11 apostles, numbered with the 11. And the Spirit guides our understanding as we study God's word too, and helps our faith to grow. An example of the Spirit telling the disciples of things to come was when Agabus was told the brethren about a great famine that was going to come in the world, which did happen, and the church is prepared for it. Another example is the revelation of Jesus to John. And when we read the book of Revelation, we are told of things to come as well. And throughout the Acts and epistles, there are examples of Jesus being praised and glorified and magnified, which we rejoice in as well. So a second key benefit of God's Spirit is that it can refresh and renew us. A third key benefit of God's Spirit, and the last one I'll be covering today, is that just like water can move things and be harnessed to provide power to get things done, similarly, God's Spirit can motivate and empower us. You know, water is a powerful force. Inside our bodies, water in our bloodstream helps to transport vital minerals and nutrients to all parts of our body. Outside, water can be a force to be reckoned with. It can gently carry a little toy boat down a slow-moving stream, or it can rip houses off of foundations in a raging torrent and flood. It can lie peacefully and placidly in a pond or a swamp, and yet it can turn giant turbines at a dam to generate electricity for millions of people. God's Spirit is a powerful force too. It is there to guide us in the direction we should go, gently nudging us in a certain direction, never forcing us, but at times almost whispering to us, this is the way, walk therein. However, in critical times, it can be a powerful force in our lives. For instance, the Bible said Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Therefore, it's important that we pay attention, recognize, and learn to listen to what God is telling us through His Spirit and follow its lead. Mr. Greer gave some examples from Paul. I have a few more examples to emphasize this. One time, Paul wanted to preach the word in Asia, but we're told in Acts 16:6, the Spirit did not permit it. Then Paul had a vision in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded in the vision with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And we're told, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. One of the first people Paul met when he was in Macedonia and Philippi was Lydia. And Lydia believed what Paul was preaching, and her whole household was saved, she and her household. Later, we know Paul did go to Asia, but it just wasn't the right time earlier. So Paul followed the leadership of the Spirit, and we need to do the same. How did he know what God's will was and what God's Spirit was leading him to do? The Bible doesn't say exactly, but certainly through prayer, Bible study, careful observation, and meditation, God's will became plain. So one way God motivates and empowers us is guiding us in the direction we should go through His Spirit and Word. Another way is by helping us remember what Jesus told us. That can help us to be motivated. John 14, verse 26. This is John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now maybe we're in the restroom and we see some trash on the floor and we're about to walk out. And then we remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We stop and do what we can to tidy up the restroom so it's nice for the next person. Or perhaps you see Mrs. Overburdened coming to the door, and you remember, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. And Jesus' words come to mind, to love one another. So we rush over to open and hold the door for her and help her out. God's Spirit can motivate us to take action at just the right time. For instance, God's Spirit motivated Simeon to come into the temple at just the right time so that he was able to see Jesus as his parents brought him in to be blessed. The Spirit will never prompt us to do something evil or contrary to God's word. You know, by contrast, sometimes on the news, sadly, sometimes you hear of a psychotic convicted killer who claims they murdered or tortured someone because they heard a voice telling them to do it. Rest assured, that is not the Spirit of God. We should never resist the Spirit or deliberately quench it. But we should allow the Spirit to motivate us to do good. Maybe you're at the feast and you see Mr. Lonely and you feel God's Spirit prodding you. Go over and talk to Mr. Lonely. So you do it and you rejoice because you met a new friend. Other times, God's Spirit may well up inside of us, stir us up so much that we have to speak out. Paul, we're told, at times was compelled by the Spirit to testify to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And the Spirit motivated Philip to take action, to go near and overtake the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch, and to start up a conversation with him, which led to his conversion and baptism. The Spirit can empower us too. It can help us to do things that we otherwise would be afraid to do or think we were unable to do. The Spirit empowered Peter and Paul to speak up boldly, the Bible tells us. And in Micah 3:8, that's Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, we read, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." Yes, brethren, it's a blessing to have God's Spirit, having it work with us and especially in us. God's Spirit can clean us up. It can refresh and renew us. It can motivate and empower us. Now, it's true that people in the world can improve themselves sometimes to a certain extent, but it isn't always for the right motives. Often it's to impress men rather than to impress God, or it's through willpower rather than God power, trusting in the abilities of self rather than trusting in God. And often any progress there is just temporary. Brethren, you and I need water to stay well, both physically and spiritually. We need pure, refreshing water to physically stay strong and healthy. But even more importantly, we also need the pure water of God's word and spirit to stay spiritually healthy. Let's keep drinking the pure water we need so we can stay healthy and strong.